శ్రీమద్భాగవతం క్యాంటో 8 చాప్టర్ 21
నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురోన్మిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయ్యం తదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపాం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాం సహగణాలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామో హరే రామో 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 హరే హరే.
The 21st chapter. This chapter is entitled Bali Maharaj arrested by the Lord.
శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ సత్యం సమీక్ష్యాబ్జ బహోన కేందుభిర్ హతస్వదామ ద్యుతిరావృతోభ్యగాత్ మరీచి మిశ్రా ఋషయో బృహద్వ్రతా సనందనాద్యా నరదేవ యోగిన.
So in the previous chapter, we saw that how Lord Vamanadev, his first step, he covered the whole earth and then he started expanding his size. By expanding the size, he actually covered all the sky and all the directions and all the planets. And then he took the second step. And by the second step, he actually covered all the upper planetary systems. So, because Lord Vamanadeva was expanding his size, so he actually reached even till Satyaloka. He covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for the third step, for the Lord's foot extended higher and higher beyond Maharaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and even Satyaloka. So when the Lord's step, it actually reached the Satyaloka, so Lord Brahma and his associates, they actually took darshan of Lord Vamandev's step. And here in this verse it is described, just by seeing the effulgence, from the effulgence which was emanating from the toenails of Lord Vamanadeva. So Lord Brahma's abode, its effulgence diminished, diminished in comparison to the effulgence emanating from the toenails of Lord Vamanadeva. So Hathas Swadama Dyutir Avruto Vyagat Hatha Nake Satyam Samikshyabja Bhavo Nakendubir. Nakendubir means effulgence emanating from his toenails. So Abja Bhavo refers to Lord Brahma. Samikshya means he was actually seeing that. Satyam, the planet Satyaloka. Hatha Swadama Dyutir Avruto Vyagat. Hatha Swadama means the effulgence of his own abode got reduced. It got reduced by the glaring effulgence of the toenails of Vamanadeva. So then Lord Brahma, accompanied by Marichi, Sanandan and all the sages, they came to worship Lord Vamanadeva. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains, in the 21st chapter, Brahma worships Vamana, Bali forbids the demons from attacking, and Garuda, knowing the Lord's intentions, ties up Bali. These are the three main activities in this chapter. Brahma worshipping Vamanadeva, and Bali Maharaj forbidding the demons to attack Lord Vamanadeva, and Varuna binds Bali Maharaj, Garuda, understanding the intentions of Lord Vamanadeva, binds Bali Maharaj with the Varuna Pash. So seeing Satyaloka with the moons of Vamana's toenails, Brahma approached the Lord. Marichi and others also went, and they offered respects, and Brahma offered respects. Brahma was also made dim by the moons of his toenails. Thus the moons of his toenails eclipsed Satyaloka, Brahma's effulgence, and Brahma himself. So basically we can see that just the toenails, Satyaloka is not an actually ordinary planet, it is the planet of Lord Brahma, the topmost planet in the material universe. But just the toenails, the effulgence of the toenails of Vamanadeva, that made the effulgence coming from Satyaloka and effulgence from Lord Brahma's own body and Lord Brahma, and that made all these things completely insignificant. So we can understand the greatness of the Supreme Lord, how effulgent his body was. If the toenails are so effulgent, what to speak of is his actual body. Usually we never describe about the toenail of a particular person. But in the Bhagavatam, so many places where the beauty of the Lord's toenails are explained. Anybody remembers any? Third canto, four Kumaras, Shankarshan? Tenth canto. Achha, Ananta, fifth canto, last chapter. Second last chapter. Any other verse? Sanchintayer Bhagavata Charanaravindam Vajrankushadvaja Saroruha Lanchanadyam Uttunga Rakta Valasan Nakachakravala Josnabi Ragata Magat Pradeyandaka Uttunga Rakta Vilasan Nakachakravala. So the large stone nails are compared to the orbit of the moon. When a person meditates on the large stone nails, that can actually remove the thick gloom of ignorance within the heart of a particular person. Any other place? There's a prayer in the Rudra Gita. Pada Sharat Padma Palasha Rochisha Nakad Yubir Nontar Agam Vidunvata. Nakad Yubir Nontar Agam Vidunvata Pradarshayas Sviyam Apasta Sadvasam. And something like that it comes. Pradarshayas Sviyam Apasta Sadvasam. So Pada Sharat Padma Palasha Rochisha Nakad Yubir Nontar Agam Vidunvata. So Lord Shiva is meditating on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. He is comparing the two lotus feet to the he is comparing the feet of the Supreme Lord to be the lotus which appears in the Sharad season. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that Lord Shiva is starting to meditate in the form of the Lord starting from the lotus feet. So similarly, one should actually meditate, but start studying starting from the first canto, first two cantos, which represent the lotus feet of the Lord. And Nakad Yubir Nontar Agam Vidunvata. The effulgence from the toenails of the Supreme Lord that can actually remove the ignorance within the heart of a particular person. So like that. And even the four Kumaras instruction to Prithu Maharaj, there is one famous verse. Yat Pada Pankaja Palasha Vilasa Bhaktya Karmashrayam Graditam Udgratayanti Santa Tadvanna Rikta Matayo Yatayo Pirudha Shoto Ganastha Maranam Bhajavasudev. So Yat Pada Pankaja Palasha Vilasa Bhaktya. Pankaja Palasha actually here refers to toenails. Saying that the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can very easily overcome the hard-knotted desires for fruitive actions. So Palasha refers to large toes in the verse. So maybe it may not be nails but toes it's mentioned. So Vishnu Chakravartaku says that the remembrance of the by remembrance of the beauty of the Lord's toes, which actually increase at every moment. By bhakti to the Lord's lotus toes, whose beauty increases at every moment, one can actually cut the hard-knotted desires for fruitive action. Karma shayam gradita mudkrata yanti santa. It's like that. So pradarshaya svim abhasta sadvasam padam guru marga Gurus Tamojusham, this is Rudra Gita. And even in that third canto when Lord Brahma was performing austerities, he gets darshan of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. There the famous verse, Pumsam Sokamaya Vivikta Margair Abhyarchitam Kama Dugangri Padmam Pradarshayantam Kripaya Nakendu. Here also the word Nakendu bir. Pradarshayantam Kripaya Nakendu Mayuka Bindang Guli Charu Patram. So the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu lifts his feet so that Lord Brahma can actually take darshan of the Lord's feet. So it is described that the Lord showed his lotus feet by raising them His lotus feet are the source of all the awards achieved by devotional service free from material contamination. Such awards are for those who worship in pure devotion. And the splendor of the transcendental rays from his moon-like toenails. Here also the Nake Indubir, where it is mentioned compared to moon. Many places Sanchintayat, there also Lord's toenails, effulgence of Lord's toenails as compared to the orbit of the moon. Here also it is compared. The splendor of the transcendental rays from his moon-like toenails and fingernails appeared like the petals of a flower. Like that. So even the apparently insignificant part of the body, that has actually so much a potency in our case. Like here, toenails are something like insignificant part of a body of a particular person. Or even the navel. Navel is something like very insignificant. Body, like, navel of a particular person is not glorified or something. But in the Rudra Gita, Lord Shiva glorifies the navel of the Lord. That the universe, after coming out of the navel of the Lord, being attracted by the beauty of the navel, it again wants to go inside. So like that. This shows that every part of the body of the Supreme Lord is actually absolute, in the absolute platform. So next verse.
वेदोपवेदानियमायमान्वितात् तर्केति सांग पुराण संहिता ये चापरे योग समीर दीपित ज्ञानाग्नि नारंदित कर्म कल्मषा भवन्ति रे यत् स्मरणानुभावत स्वायंभुवं दावगता अकर्मकं अतांग्रये प्रोन्नमिताय विष्णोर् उपाहरत् पद्मभवोर्कनोदकं समर्च्य भक्त्याप्यगृणात् शुचिश्रवा यन्नाभि पङ्केरुह संभवः स्वयं.
There are those who had attained perfection in self-control and regulative principles, as well as experts in logic, history, general education and the Vedic literature known as a Kalpa, leading with old historical incidents. Others were expert in the Vedic corollaries like Brahma Samhita, all the other knowledge of the Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rug and Atharva, and also the supplementary Vedic knowledge, Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, etc. Others were those who had been freed of the reactions to fugitive activities by a transcendental knowledge awakened by practice of yoga. And still others were those who had attained residence in Brahmaloka, not by ordinary karma, but by advanced Vedic knowledge. After devoted worshipping the upraised lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, with oblations of water, Lord Brahma, who was born of the lotus emanating from the Lord Vishnu's navel, offered prayers to the Lord.
So this verse describes the different personalities who came to worship the Supreme Lord. So we can see like the personifications of the different Vedas, Veda, Upaveda, and Niyama, those who are experts in logic, and those who are learned in the Puranas, personification of all these things. So the Vedas, Upavedas, Nyaya scriptures, histories, the Angas of the Vedas, Vedangas, Puranas, Samhitas, along with Yamas and Niyamas, and persons purified of sinful acts by the fire of knowledge which was ignited by the air of yoga, and persons who had attained Brahmaloka, which is devoid of karmakanda, by the power of remembering the Lord's feet, offered respects to the Lord. So we can see that, like when you see Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, there are different verses are there, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will find different instances which is like an elaboration of the particular verse of the Bhagavatam. Like for example, like Yoginam Api Sarvesham Madgate Nantaratma. Krishna said the topmost yogi is one who is performing devotional service. He just mentions the concept there. So there are pastimes in the Bhagavatam which actually completely prove that particular verse. How Durvas Muni is the greatest yogi, but Ambarish Maharaj is greater than Durvas Muni, who is a bhakti yogi. And also, so regarding this particular verse, we see Krishna says in the Gita, Vedeshya Sarve Agam Eva Vedyo. I am the objective of the Vedas, I am the compiler of the Vedas, I am to be known by all the Vedas. So here, this particular verse, this is like a purport or the elaboration of the particular verse of the Gita. Here we see that all the different personifications of the Vedas, not only the Vedas, the Upavedas, Vedangas, Puranas, Nyaya Shastra, Itihasa, all of them came to actually worship Lord Vamana Dev. So there are actually 14, Prabhupada explains in the 13th chapter purport about 14 divisions of knowledge, 14 types of knowledge. He says that for advanced education there are various kinds of books of knowledge, such as the 4 Vedas, the 6 supplements, I think it must be Upavedas or something, 6 supplements, Vedanta Sutra, 4 plus 6, 10, 10 plus 1 Vedanta Sutra, 11, and 12th is the books of logic, and 13th is books of religiosity, and 14th is the Puranas. So all together there are 14 divisions of books of education. So this Prabhupada explains the 10th chapter purport, and Krishna is saying Adhyatma Vidya Vidyana. I am among all types of knowledge, I am the Adhyatma Vidya. Adhyatma Vidya, so that purport. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan, he mentions that he quotes a verse from the Vishnu Puran which says that Angani Veda Chatvaru Mimamsa Nyaya Vistara Dharma Shastram Puranam Cha Vidya Geta Chaturdasha. So there are 14 divisions of knowledge. First is the 4 Vedas, and then the 6 Angas of the Vedas. 6 Angas are, this is called the Vedanga. These 6 Angas are basically, they help one to understand Veda. The 6 Vedangas are basically pronunciation, meter, Vyakaran, Nirukta, astrology and Kalpa. Pronunciation, meter, Vyakaran, meaning, Jyotisha, astrology and Kalpa. So the 4 Vedas plus 6 Angas, 7, and then Mimamsa, 11, and Nyaya, 12, and Dharma Shastra, 13th, and the Puranas. So these are considered to be the 14 types of knowledge according to Vishnu Purana. So basically we see, one thing we can note is that all these are, there are personalities behind this thing. It's not just a simply a book, actually there are personalities behind personified Vedas, personified Vedangas like that. So the modern world is something, it actually makes it makes everything impersonal. But in the Vedic culture, even the things are treated as actually as persons. The modern world, even the persons are treated as things. Even Lord Ram was departing from Ayodhya. He was actually addressing, O city of Ayodhya, and then he was speaking some verses. So even the, which are not city of Ayodhya, of course we can say Ayodhya Dham, already the Dham of the Lord, spiritual, but still we can see that, we can take the lesson how Lord Ram was treating with in a personal way. So all these personalities, they came to actually, Samhitas, all these personalities, they came to actually praise Lord Vamadev. Next verse.
Dhatukkamandalujalam tadurukramasya padavane janapavitrataya narendra svardunyamunnavasisa padati nimashti lokatrayam bhagavato vishadeva kirti.
Thus that water became so pure that it was transferred into the water of the Ganges, which went flowing down from the sky, purifying three worlds like the pure flame of three persons of Godhead.
So here it is said that, so Lord Brahma came to wash the lotus feet of the Lord. So Prabhupada and Vishnu Chakra Thakur mentioned in their purports, Prabhupada quotes from Vishnu Chakra Thakur, he says that that water which washed the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord by Lord Brahma with his kamandalu, from his kamandalu, that water became the Ganges according to this version. But according to the version of the fifth canto, when Lord Vamanadev pierced the lotus feet, the Viraja river, so the water emanating from the Viraja river which washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadev, that became the Ganges water. But according to the another version, Lord Narayan himself became Ganges. So Ganges is non-different from Lord Narayan. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur mentions all these three, and then finally he mentions, so therefore it should thus be understood that all three of these mix and become the Ganges. And this Ganges falls in the sky and purifies the three worlds. So he is taking a, he is not like contradicting any of this. He's all three of the, Prabhupada basically mentioned the same thing in the purport. This is the deception. The water of the Ganges therefore is a combination of these three transcendental waters, and thus the Ganges is able to purify the three worlds. This is the description given by Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur. So we see Shrude Goswami is mentioning this Ganges water purifies the three worlds like the pure fame of the Supreme Personality of God. Lokatrayam Bhagavato Vishada Iva Kirti. That means even if we don't have opportunity to come in contact with the Ganges, even if we don't have opportunity to take bath in the Ganges, if we actually hear the fame, pure fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we can be actually purified. In fact, according to a verse in the fifth canto, we remember, I think 18th or 19th chapter, discuss that Ganges waters purifies a person externally after a long time, only after a prolonged path eternally. But when a person hears Harikatha from a devotee, it actually purifies one internally, and at once it acts. Even in the first canto also, that was Yatpada Samshraya Sutta Munaya Prashamayana Sadhya Punant Yupasrishta Svardunyapona Sevaya. So many places, like here it's mentioned, Ganges and the fame of the Supreme Lord, they are actually, they have the same effect. Purifies the person. Even in the Rudra Gita, Lord Shiva speaks a beautiful verse. He says, Ata anaga angres, tava kirti tirtayo, antar bhagisnana viduta papanam, bhutesh anukrosha susatva shilinam. Syat Sangha Monu Graha Nashai Na Yesha Yastava Yesha Nastava. Yes, Ata Anaga Angres Tava Kirti Tirtayo. So Lord Shiva in this particular verse is actually asking for, he is praying to the Supreme Lord to give the association of the devotees of the Lord. And he mentions the qualities of the devotees. I desire the association of your pure devotees who are purified externally and internally. Who are purified externally, internally by taking bath in the Ganges. This is park. This also will remove that. Should this left up also? Switch it up. So Ata Anaga Angres Tavakirti Tirtayur Antar Bhagisnana Viduta Papana. I want the association of devotees who are internally and externally purified. How they get internally and externally purified? By Tavakirti Tirtayur. According to Vishnu Chakravarti, he says that by taking bath in the Ganges water. But Prabhupada writes, Tava Kirti Tirthayo, by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, or by glorification of the Supreme Lord, they are purified internally and externally. Tava Kirti Tirthayo. So Kirti means like fame of the Lord. Tirthayo actually refers to the Ganges water. So we can say, it means like by hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, one can get purified. One can also get purified by taking bath in the Ganges. And I want the association of devotees who are purified externally, internally, and who are merciful towards other living entities, and who have got proper conduct. And when you give me association of such devotees who are having these qualities, then I consider this to be your real mercy to me. Your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees who have these qualities. So we see another thing, yesterday, day before yesterday, going through was mentioned. Actually, Ganges, I don't know how many of you are aware, that China is trying to attack India and they are trying to already progress towards so much towards the border, and so many kilometers. So he was mentioning that the China plan of China is to capture Arunachal Pradesh and then Nepal. So once they capture Arunachal Pradesh and Nepal, then what will they do? Then they will divert the Ganges. And there won't be any more Ganges to India. They will divert the Ganges to China. So he was saying that how in India even then you will not be able to worship Ganges afterwards. You will not be able to take bath in the Ganges. So in India, even if a person is actually fighting for a nationalistic cause, indirectly supports spirituality. So that's making that point. So Ganges is such a very important thing. So we'll go to the next verse.
ब्रह्मादयो लोकनाथा स्वनाथाय समादृता सानुगा बलिमाजग्रु संक्षिप्तात्मा विभूतये.
So here, before we come to this verse, even there is another thing, another place where Lord is called as Tirtha Kirte. When Vidura goes to, Vidura meets Uddhava, no, Vidura meets when Vidura met Maitreya Rishi. I'm sorry, when he met actually Uddhava, the third canto, first chapter. So Vidura asked to Uddhava, he says that I have taken bath in so many holy places. Now please bathe me in the holy place known as Krishna Katha. The beautiful verse, third canto, first chapter, last verse. Artaya jatasya yadush ajasya vartam sake kirtaya tirtha kirte. Kirtaya, that means please narrate tirtha kirte, please narrate the glories of the Lord whose glories are chanted in the praise of pilgrimage. So please describe that. Krishna Chakra was saying that Vidura is telling to Uddhava, I have taken birth in so many holy places, but now please bathe me in the holy place known as Krishna Katha. So that is the pastimes of the Lord, who is famous as a holy place which can purify everyone and deliver them from samsara for the benefit of those kings surrendered to the Lord and for others who follow his orders. And that is it. So now in the fifth verse, it is described that Lord Vamanadev, so he had actually increased the size. Now Vamanadev comes to his original form. Because Lord Brahma and all these people, they wanted to actually worship Lord Vamanadev. So Lord Vamanadev again comes back to his original form. So, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. So that Lord Brahma and everyone, they could collect different ingredients and paraphernalia for this worship. So Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport. So first Prabhupada says, he is comparing Vamanadeva with Krishna. Just like Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna. And then at the request of Arjuna, Krishna again came back to his original form. He actually removed the universal form. So Krishna can expand and at the same time he can actually can shrink and then come to his original form. So that's like instantaneously he can become big, instantaneously become small. Like another thing, similar thing which happens in the 10th canto is that like when Trinavarta came, so initially Krishna was in a lightweight. So Yashoda Mai was holding Krishna and suddenly Krishna became heavy. And then immediately Yashoda Mai left Krishna and then went to inside the house. Then Krishna became light. So Trinavarta could lift Krishna. And then Trinavarta lifted Krishna and then he was going high up in the air. Again Krishna became heavy. And then Trinavarta got killed. And then again Krishna became light. So his mother Yashoda. So instantaneous, like for us, we got instantaneously increase the weight and reduce the weight. Instantaneously, like we can't reduce the weight, like somebody else. But Krishna can instantaneously expand and decrease. So here Vamanadeva also instantaneously actually reduced his form. And another thing which Prabhupada mentions is that the Supreme Lord can assume any form he likes. But his original form is that of Krishna. And according to the capacity of the devotee, the Lord assumes various forms so that the devotee can handle it. So why did the Lord reduce? Because it is not possible to worship such a big form. Like Prabhupada explains in a lecture, suppose. If you have to dress the universal form of the Lord, how much bigger? How many clothes, long clothes you'll require? Even if you take all the cloth factories in the entire world, still it will be like insufficient. So we can't offer anything. So Lord actually understanding the capacity of a devotee assumes a particular form. So Prabhupada in the first canto, third chapter, Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport about Vamanadeva. When Sutta Goswami is describing the incarnations of the Lord, there he says, the Almighty God can bestow upon anyone the kingdom of the universe from a very small beginning. And similarly, he can take away the kingdom of the universe on the plea of begging a small piece of land. On the plea of begging 3 steps of land, he actually took away the entire kingdom. And he can also do in the opposite way also. On the plea of giving something little, he can give the entire kingdom of the whole universe. So, you can see, Lord comes in a very small way, and then suddenly he actually, and he grows so huge. We never expect that. We never realize that. Oh, he is so big. Similarly, even in our own life, if you see, initially when we came in contact with the devotees, in a very small way we got introduced to Krishna consciousness. Somebody gave some little prasad, or somebody called for some program or something. So now if we look back for so many years, that was so everything else has gone, only like morning to night only we are actually chanting and hearing, only Krishna is there, at least externally. So we have to more internalize it, but the fact is that, so Krishna enters in a small way and then he completely occupies the full consciousness of a person. So even Maya also enters in a small way, and then after some time we realize that we are actually in a completely different direction. Like Prabhupada would give a nice example that in the Indian trains, saying that how the Maya actually enters. Like, I was giving the example, once a family with 5 children entered the bogie, and they don't have a reserved ticket or something. So there are other people who are actually having a reserved ticket. They were sitting. The first, the family, they send the smallest child to go and sit in there. Because the smallest child is coming, then actually leave some space for the child to sit. And after some time, another child comes. And then initially the person was sitting comfortably. And then after some time, we were just sitting in the at the edge of the seat. And finally the big lady comes, the mother of the child, and then she comes and sits, and then he has to get up. So similarly, Prabhupada gave the example for how Maya enters. Maya enters in a small way, little more, little by little, and then finally she occupies the whole consciousness. So Krishna also enters in a similar way. And it's like, even this principle is there, like even we see in so many places in the Bhagavatam, how a small activity, like small offense, Indra just giving the small, like Dhruvasmani gives a garland, he just gives a garland to Airavat, and Airavat like steps in the garland, and that leads to a whole series of events. All these events, basically the source of all these events is that particular event. Indra giving the garland to Airavat. So when you respect a person, you also respect things connected with that particular person. And when you don't, so because Indra was getting so many garlands every day, so he got used to the garlands, and he just took that garland lightly. So that event actually has led to all these events. So demigods getting defeated, and then Samudra Manthan, and then again demigods defeat the demons, the demons get revived, and then again demons defeat the demigods, and then Vamana Dev has appeared now. So basically we see that's why this is something called deterministic chaos. Deterministic chaos means there is a theory in the science called as deterministic chaos theory. Yeah, something like a small event in some place, there was a tire got burst, and that led to tornado in some other part of the city. That means like that led to something, that led to something, that led to something, and that led to Tarnada. Like I remember that like long back I saw one movie. It was a villain. I don't want to tell the name of the movie, but you may be knowing if I tell. There was a hero who wanted to kill a villain. But hero was a very short person actually. So the villain was thinking, what can you do? How can you kill me? He was like so proud of it. So he had a, there was like a complicated system in front of him. So this hero actually put a ball in a particular hole or something. And that went to some, that hit something. And then there was like a chain of reaction. And then finally an arrow was released, and then it actually came and hit and he got killed. So similarly, this is called a deterministic chaos theory. Just like one ray of light enters a room, and within no time the whole room becomes like a so effulgent, like as if a sun has entered. So that is because one ray of light enters, but there are so many prisms in the particular room, and those prisms are arranged in such a way that ray enters one prism, and from the reflection from that prism actually falls on some other thing, and the reflection from that falls on some other prism, and in this way in a short time the whole room actually gets lighted. So similarly, Vamanadeva came as a very small dwarf Brahmana. But in a short time he actually occupied the whole universe, and he actually took away the whole property from the Bali Maharaj. So this is the glory of Vamanadeva. And Bhaktivikas Maharaj writes in his book, he was comparing Prabhupada with Vamanadeva. Vamanadeva came as a small dwarf Brahmana, and then he occupied the whole universe, and he took away everything from Bali Maharaj, and ultimately he gave himself to Bali Maharaj. So similarly, Prabhupada was also like a short-heighted person. He came to America. And then he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Practically established in a short time, he established 108 temples in all the countries. And then what did he take away? He took away the material attachments of the people. And he actually gave Krishna to everyone. And he gave himself to everyone. So this is the nature of Prabhupada. And here Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Lord can assume any form he likes, but his original, according to the capacity of the devotee, the Lord assumes various forms so that the devotee can handle him. And this is his causeless mercy. So we can see the causeless mercy of the Lord is that he actually appears in such a form that a devotee can handle him. We can see not only in the this quality in the nature of the Supreme Lord, even this quality is present even in the system created by the Lord. That means like according to the capacity of the person, Krishna actually assumes a particular form so that the devotee can worship. And according to the capacity of a person, Krishna also tests a devotee. Krishna never tests a person beyond one's capacity. In the third canto, it's a very beautiful purport when the Kapila Dev is describing the child in the womb of the mother. How the child is undergoing so many sufferings in the womb of a mother. So one particular purport, the detailed description Kapila Dev is saying that how the child is actually surrounded by stool and urine, and the child is being bitten by the worms which are born from the stool and urine. So one purport Prabhupada says that the worms are also born of the same place. That means like the worms are also like brothers of the child. So people talk about like universal brotherhood, but you must know that even the worms are also brothers. So then let's describe the child is in such an awkward position. Even a most advanced yogi cannot remain in that position more than few moments. So then one purport Prabhupada mentions, but how is it that the child is undergoing so much of problems, but still the child is actually surviving in that place? So Prabhupada says, because his consciousness is not very developed, the child can tolerate all these painful situations. Otherwise, he would die actually. So that is the benediction of Maya, who endures the suffering body with the qualifications for tolerating such terrible tortures. So the material nature gives suffering, but it also gives the body suitable so that it can actually tolerate the suffering. So like that. So you see, even the Vedic education system is also like that. I couldn't get the exact quote, but there is a nice Hare Krishna Prabhu showing that you are saying, like a nice picture. So there is a race which is happening. Who races to climb on a tree. Whoever climbs on the tree first, he will get the prize. The participants of the race are elephant, squirrel, deer, tiger, and ant. And then it is mentioned that this is actually the modern education system. So that means like everyone has to go through the same, everyone has to write the same exam. Everyone is tested according to a same level actually. Like all these elephants, they have actually different capacities and different skills and a different size. But they are tested according to the same criteria, whoever climbs on the tree first. So, elephant will not be able to climb on the tree. When it starts climbing in the tree, will fall actually. So, modern education system tests a person according to a certain this thing, and it makes a person think that he is stupid. Actually, every person has a particular talent and particular skill, but everyone is tested according to one particular exam. Because of that, it makes a person appear that, oh, you are intelligent. Some people, it makes a person think that, oh, you are actually stupid. So this is the modern education system. So Albert Einstein written a very beautiful quote, but the essence of the quote is this word, the message is this thing. But the Vedic education system tests a person according to its capacity. So it's not only the Lord actually assumes a form according to the capacity of a person, even the system given by the Supreme Lord also is according to the capacity of a person. We saw at so many places even in the Varnashram system, there are different rules and regulations for different people. Brahmana, Kshatriya, how Kshatriyas are allowed to marry more women. Because they are taking so much of responsibility of the kingdom. So because it involves a lot of passion, they are allowed to marry more women. Even we saw in the 7th canto when Narada Muni was describing the duties of the 11th chapter of the Brahmana, Kshatriya, this thing. How there are certain people called Antevashai, lower class people who are below the Shudras. They were actually allowed to enjoy sense gratification because they are actually, Prabhupada says that because it is impossible for a person with excessive material desires to give up the desires by the rules of the Vedas, rather than forbidding them of their enjoyment, one is allowed to enjoy with an honest heart. And then detachment will take place eventually. And the analogy which is given is, remember the analogy? Yeah. When you pour huge amount of ghee, suddenly on a blazing fire, then there is a chance that the blazing fire can get extinguished. So similarly, this analogy is given to show that sometimes a person who is having excessive material disease, they are actually allowed to enjoy the exam, and then by that they can become passive, they may become free of the material disease. The example which is given is the example which was given, like Shaukari Muni and Yayati Maharaj, they enjoyed sense gratification in such a large way, and then they got pacified. So basically the point is that the system given by Krishna, it actually recognizes the needs of a particular person. So Vedas are like the mother. Just like a mother, she understands the needs of a particular child, and then accordingly she takes care. So Vedas also understand the needs of a person who are in different modes, and then Vedas allow different enjoyment, different rules for different people. There is a, understand this way, like in the case of like Harinam and Harikatha, that is common for everyone. But the different services, like that depends on a particular person's capacity, somebody's physical, this thing, and somebody's particular inclination. That is given according to the capacity of a person. But Harinam and Harikatha, that is actually like 16 rounds, that is like common for everyone, whatever may be the person's nature. And Harikatha, that is common for everyone. And these tests are actually, the real tests will come in our life actually. What one says, like, these tests are easy to pass, but then the real tests will come afterwards, like when your time comes, how to apply the teachings. So that will be tested according to our level only. So here basically the questions are given, we are supposed to reproduce this. So that is the basic, we understand what is given in the Prabhupada's books. And it's common for everyone, but the actual test, like more difficult test in the life, which will come as to how we apply the principles, that is given with the Lord according to our capacity. So when Lord Vamanadeva resumed his original form, Lord Brahma and his associates collected various paraphernalia for worship with which to please him. So now the 6th and 7th verse describe that how they actually worshipped the Lord. Basically 6-8 verse, they describe how they celebrated the victory of Lord Vamanadeva over Bali Maharaj. Toyai samarhanai srabbir divya gandhanu lepanai dupai deepai surabibir laja kshatapalankurai savanai jaya shabdaisya tadvirya matimankitai nritya vaditra gitaisya shankadundu vidisvanai.
They worship offerings like the flowers, water, vadya and the argya, sandalwood pulp and the agrood pulp, incense lamp, food, rice, unbroken grains, fruits, roots and sprouts. While so doing, they offered prayers indicating the glorious activity of the Lord and shouted, Jai, Jai. They also danced, played instruments, sang, sounded on shells and the beat kettle drums. In this way, worship the Lord.
Next verse. Fused rice. Fused rice, or the, I don't know what it is. What is unbroken grains? We know that. Fused rice, I don't know what it
is. Fried paddies.
The word or translation?
Large.
Okay.
Fried paddies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Large.
Now.
So basically we see, one thing is that, like what, when you worship the Lord, only natural ingredients are used, like aguru pulp, incense, lamps, fused rice, unbroken grains. Naturally, so many places in the Bhagavatam it comes, like when Prithu Maharaj entered the city, the decorations and how they welcomed Prithu Maharaj. Like similar kind of like natural ingredients were used when Krishna was entering Dwaraka. So all these places we can see. Argya is like padyam, argyam, ashamaniyam. Padyam is basically we are washing the lotus feet. Argyam is for sprinkling over the head. And ashamaniyam is for like cleansing the mouth. And then we offer madhuparka. Madhuparaka is mixture of milk, curd, honey, sugar water, ghee, and then again punarachyam. These are all used in the deity worship. There is like a shodasha upacharan, like 16 items to worship the Lord. First asan, then swagatam, welcome the Lord. I think must have been described in that payovrata ceremony, and Aditi performed the payovrata ceremony. I think it was made. If I remember properly, in the chapter it was mentioned. Padyam, and then we, and the first we offer asan, and then we welcome the Lord, swagatam, and then padyam, we wash the lotus feet, and then we give water, argyam, for sprinkling in his body to freshen up, and then achamaniyam, for actually washing the mouth, and then we offer madhuparka. And then we offer punarachamaniyam again to clean the mouth. And then snan, like snaniyam, and then vastram, avaranas, like that 16 items. And but one thing we see that natural things were actually used in the worship of the Lord. Next one. Jambavan Riksha Rajastu Veri Shabdai Manojavaha Vijayam Dikshu Sarvasu Maho Samamago Shaya.
Jambavan, king of the deer, also joined in the ceremony. Counting his bugle in all directions, he declared a great festival of God found in the event of the
time. He went from Pune.
He circumambulated Lord Mukushi.
Achha, where is it mentioned? Yeah, Jambavan tells Hanumanji, says that when I was young, I travelled over the universe so many times, but now I am old, so I cannot jump. But you have the capacity to jump over this ocean. Maybe referring to that. So basically, here they are actually celebrating their festival of victory of Vamanadev over Bali Maharaj. So you see that here the devotees are, we can see three kinds of personalities. Here the devotees, the demigods, they are actually celebrating the victory of Vamanadev. And the demons, next verse describes that how they actually start lamenting and they become angry at Vamanadeva. And so here the demigods are celebrating victory over Vamanadeva either because of pure devotion or because they are going to regain their property in the home because of the material desires also mixed with the devotion for the Lord. In the 10th canto, in the I think Brahmar Gita, Srimati Radharani, the gopis of Vrindavan, they criticize Vamanadev taking away the possessions of Bali Maharaj because of excessive love. So there Srimati Radharani, the gopis are saying, Mrigayur Iva Kapindram Vivyade Lubda Dharma Striyam Akrita Virupam Stri Jita Kamayana Balim Api Balim Atva Veshtayat Dvangshay Vadyas Tad Alam Asita Sakye Dushtayas Tad Katharta. Like a hunter, he cruelly shot the king of the monkeys with arrows because he was conquered by a woman. So here Srimati Radharani is talking about Lord Ram because he is angry with Krishna. We heard that this Krishna appeared previously as Ram. He acted like a hunter and he killed Vali actually. And he was conquered by a woman. Because he was conquered by a woman, because he was conquered by Sita, he disfigured another woman, Shurpanaka, who came to him with lusty desires. And even after consuming the gifts of Bali Maharaj, he bound him up with ropes as if he were a crow. So let us give up all friendship with this dark complexioned boy, even if we cannot give up talking about him. So Vishnu Chakravartakul says that this speech of Radharani is called as Avajalpa, as described by Rupa Goswami in the Ujjwala Leelamani. The saintly persons have concluded that when a lover, impelled by jealousy and fear, declares that Lord Hari is unworthy of her attachment because of his harshness, lustiness and dishonesty, such speech is called Avajalpa. So you see, like, devotees, because of love, they celebrate victory. And demons, because of hatred, they start attacking the Lord. And there are also devotees, because of excessive love, they start criticizing the Lord's victory over Bali Maharaj. So next verse describes the reactions of the demons. Mahim sarvam kritam drishtva Tripada Vyaja Yajnaya Uchisva Bhartur Asura Dikshita Syat Marshita.
And the demonic followers of Maharaj Bali saw that their master had been determined to perform the sacrifice and lost all his possessions to Vamanadeva, who had taken them away on the plea of begging three little time. They were very angry and spoke as follows.
Navayam Brahma Bandur Vishnur Maya Vinamvaraha Vijarupa Parati Channo Deva Karyam Chikirshati.
This Vaman is certainly not a Brahmana but the best of cheaters, Lord Vishnu. Assuming the form of a Brahmana, he has covered his own form and thus he is working for the interest of the demigod.
So here the servants of Bali Maharaj, they are going to attack Vamanadeva. So they actually, in one sense, they are loyal to Bali Maharaj, but then they do not understand the mood of their master. They do not understand the mood of their master and they try to actually attack Lord Vishnu. So there are three kinds of disciples. So one disciple is that although the spiritual master tells something, he actually does exactly opposite. And that is like a third class disciple. But the second class disciple is that guru says something and the disciple exactly carries out. But the first class disciple is that even without being told by Guru, he understands the mood of the Guru and then he exactly carries out accordingly. Carries out the order accordingly. So here the servants of Bali Maharaj, they do not understand the mood of Bali Maharaj. So they feel that this Vamana Deva has cheated Bali Maharaj and they want to actually capture Vamana Deva, they want to kill Vamana Deva. Well, without being told by Bali Maharaj, they try to attack Vamana Deva. But so we'll see here the servants of Bali Maharaj and also Garuda. So Garuda, which will come, this description will come in the future, Garuda, knowing the intentions of Vamana Deva, he will actually arrest Bali Maharaj by putting the Varuna Pash. So Garuda knew the intentions of Vamana Deva, but here they did not know the intentions of Bali Maharaj. The 10th canto, it is described that and Mother Yashoda was celebrating the Uttana ceremony of Krishna. Uttana ceremony is in the child actually, I think, turns, the child turns. So there Mother Yashoda is called as Sati. So one Acharya mentions that actually Nanda Maharaj did not tell Mother Yashoda to hold a festival for Krishna's turning. But Mother Yashoda, by the power of her chastity towards her husband, she understood his mood and then organized the festival. That is why she is called as Sati. So Mother Yashoda is like a first class disciple, understanding the mood. So we may not come to the first class, at least we try to come to the second class. So here the followers of Bali Maharaj, they are actually criticizing Vamana Deva that he has cheated Bali Maharaj. Next verse. Anena yachamanena shatruna vadurupina sarvasvam nokritam bhartur nyasa dandasya parihishi.
Our Lord Bali Maharaj, because of his position in performing the yajna, has given up the power to punish. Taking advantage of this, our eternal enemy Vishnu, dressed in the form of a brahmachari beggar, has taken away all his possessions.
Satyavratasya tadatam dikshitasya visheshatah nanrutam vashitum shakyam brahmanyasya dayavatah. They are actually glorifying Bali Maharaj. But this Vamana Deva, because Bali Maharaj was performing a sacrifice, when a person is performing a sacrifice, he will not indulge in punishing a person. Because that is the last thing that will actually completely spoil the sacrificial arena, when we indulge in killing or fighting with another person. So taking advantage of this, Vamana Deva came and begged 3 steps of land and took away everything. This is the what the followers of Bali Maharaj are saying. So therefore now they are concluding. Tasmadasya padodharmo vartu shushrushanam chanah ityayudani jagruhur vale anuchara asura.
Therefore it is our duty to kill this wrong deer, Lord Vishnu. It is our religious principle and the way to serve our master. After making this decision, the demonic followers of the Bali Maharaj took up their various weapons with a view to killing Vamadeva.
Te sarve vamanam hantum shula pattisha panaya anichanto bale rajan pradrava jata manyavaha.
O king, the demons elevated by their beautiful anger took their lances and tridents in hand, and against the will of Bali Maharaj they pushed forward to kill Lord Vamadeva.
So here they did not understand the will of Bali Maharaj and they are trying to attack Vamana Deva. So now the response of the associates of Lord Vishnu, how they counteract the attack of the demons is described. Tan abhidravato drishva दितिंजानीक पांड्रप प्रगस्यानुचरा विष्णु प्रत्यषेदन उदायुदा. नंदस्तु नंदोतजयो विजय प्रबलो बलः कुमुदकौमुदो विश्वक्षेण पतत्रिराट जयन्त श्रुतदेवस्य पुष्पदन्तोत सात्वत सर्वे नागायुत प्राणास् चमुंते जग्नुरासुरी. So here we see that Nanda, Sunanda, Jaya, Vijay. So Vishnu Chakravarti mentions, in order to show the frightful nature of offending the devotees of the Lord, expansions of Jaya and Vijay fell from Vaikuntha. This has been explained in the description of the Vaikuntha, the third canto. So he says the original forms of Jaya and Vijay remained in Vaikuntha, and in the present pastime they assist the Lord in the fight. Their expansions, playing the roles of the demons, stayed in the material world until Krishna liberated them. So here we see that when we are trying to do some service, when we try to do mechanically, then sometimes we may try to impose some rule on a particular person who is actually above the rules. Here the servants of Bali Maharaj, they are actually trying to serve Bali Maharaj, but they are trying to actually kill Lord Vishnu. Yamadutas, they were servants of Yamaraj, but then they actually went to harass a person who is sinless or who was chanting the holy names of the Lord. Or another example which comes in the 10th canto is that the servants of Varuna Dev, they actually brought Nanda Maharaj. So it is described that, you can switch on. It is described that Nanda Maharaj went to take bath in the Dwadashi, and actually it was a proper time, but they thought it is a wrong time. So Gaurangpur was explaining in the class that when you try to do something mechanically, then we might just know the letter of the law, but we may not know the spirit of the law. And we may forget the exact details of the particular rule. When that rule is applicable, when it is not applicable. So these people, they knew the rule, but then they forgot that actually it is a proper time. Because they were just mechanically doing the service. And then the second mistake which they did was, they tried to arrest a person who is the father of the Supreme Personality of God, who is actually beyond these rules. So one is that they forgot the exact details of the rule, and second is that they tried to arrest a person who is actually beyond the jurisdiction of these rules. Even if it is supposed, if he had taken bath in the wrong time, still Nanda Maharaj is the father of the Supreme Personality of God. So thirdly, it is important that when we carry out the order on behalf of somebody, we must know the mood of the particular person, and we must be conscious of what we are doing. Otherwise mechanical, this thing may lead to making some mistakes, and we may commit some offense against the person who is actually worshipable. So here they are trying to actually kill even Lord Vishnu himself. So at this time, which was 18th verse. So Nanda, Sunanda, Jaya, Vijay, is described that they were as powerful as the 10,000 elephants. So Vishnu Chakravarti explained that Nagas are the elephants which move around the Loka Loka mountain range. It's studied in the 5th canto. Or they are the elephants who are vibhutis of the Lord in Vaikuntha. So they had the power of the 10,000 elephants and they began killing the soldiers of the demons. So now the response of Bali Maharaj to his own soldiers is described. Hanyamanan svakan drishtva purushanuchareir balihi varayam asa samrabdan kavya shapam anusmaran.
When Bali saw that the own soldiers were being killed by the associates of Lord Vishnu, he remembered the curse of Shukracharya and forbade the soldiers to continue fighting.
हे विप्रचित्ते हे राहो हेने मे श्रूयतां वचः मा युद्यत निवर्तत्वं नन कालो यमर्तकृ.
ओ विप्रचित्ते ओ राहो ओ नेमि प्लीज हियर माय वर्ड्स सो डोंट फाइट स्टॉप इमीडिएटली फॉर द प्रेजेंट टाइम इज नॉट इन ऑफिस.
वी जस्ट टेक अ 5 मिनट्स ब्रेक एंड
स्टॉप.
Thank you. Thank you.
यः प्रभुः सर्वभूतानां सुखदुःखोपपत्तये तं नातिवर्तितुं दैत्या पुरुषैरीश्वरपुमान्। यो नभवाय प्राक् आसीत् अभवाय दिवौकसाम् स एव भगवान् अद्य वर्तते तद्विपर्ययम्। सो बेसिकली बलि महाराज इज ही मेंशन्स लाइक three four things. First he says that time is actually not in favor of us, so please do not attack Vamanadev. And second thing he mentions, by human efforts one cannot supersede the Lord. Even the time is favor of us, but we can never supersede the Supreme Lord. That's the second thing he mentions. No one can supersede the Supreme Personality of God, who can bring happiness and distress to living entities. And then third thing he mentions is, actually no one can surpass time. The 21st verse again he mentioned the same thing. Right now the time is in favor of the demigods, but the time is against us. And the third thing he mentions is in the 22nd verse. That is, actually nobody can surpass time by the power of one's strength, or by the counsel of ministers, or by the intelligence, or by diplomacy, or by fortresses, or by mantras or drugs. Nobody can actually surpass time. So we'll just say the 22nd verse. Balena sachivair buddhya durgair mantraushadadivihi samadivirupayaisya kalam natyeti vaijana. So there are so many verses about the time factor. Where all it is mentioned in many rumbas. Sarvam kala kritam manye. Sarvam kala kritam manye bhavatam cha yad apriyam. Sapalo yad vashe loko vayoriva ganavali. Spoken by Bhishma to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that how actually time is so powerful that all the planets are under the control of time, and just like clouds are carried by the wind, so similarly actually time is actually carrying everyone. Time is carrying. So in the case of this analogy is significant. Clouds are carried by the wind. So wind is not visible. Although it is not visible, the action of the wind is seen. The clouds are moving. So similarly, time is not visible, but everyone is actually carried by the time factor. Everyone is under the control of the time factor. So any other verse? Ayur harati vaipumsam udyanastam chayannasam tasyarte yakshano neeta uttama shloka vartaya. The rising and setting of the sun. Any other verse? Kapila Dev's what? 19 characteristics of time. You mentioned something? Divisions of the time. Atomic time, third canto, I think. The calculation of the time from the atom. So everyone is under the control of the time factor except the Supreme Personality of God. That was? Yes. Evam Gresh Zaktana. Which verse is it?
The same, but then Vidura comes to
Dhritarashtra. Yeah, in that calculation of the time from the atom, that is also, it's a beautiful verse. Right? Sarva. They describe that how everyone, right, starting from the atomic time till the Dviparardha, everyone is under the control of the Supreme Lord, time factor. But except for the Supreme Personality of God, under whose control time factor is working. And then in the Rudra Gita, Yatra Nirvishta Maranam Kritanto Nabi Manyate Vishvam Vidvam Shayam Virya Shaurya Visvurjita Bruva. Described that simply by the rising of the eyebrows, time can destroy everything except the devotees of the Supreme Personality of God. So rising of the eyebrows is something like we do unconsciously. We don't even think that, oh, I have to raise my eyebrow, I have to close. Like, just unconsciously we do. But so that means like there is no effort involved in that. But yatra nirvishta maranam, that means simply with the raising of the eyebrows, time can destroy everything. That means the time is so powerful that destroy the whole universe simply with the raising of the eyebrows. Another verse, again the same Rudra Gita. Sayesha lokan atichanda vego vikarshasitvam kalukala yana bhutani bhutair anumeya tattvo ganavalir vayu rivavi sakya. Atichanda vego. Time is called as, even the Puranjan story, chanda vega. It's called as atichanda vega. So my dear Lord, your absolute authority cannot be directly experienced. It cannot be directly experienced, but one can guess by seeing the activities of the world that everything is being destroyed in due course of time. Same analogy. We cannot directly experience the wind, but we can experience the wind by the effect of the wind, how it is carrying the wind, how it is carrying the cloud. Similarly, we cannot directly experience your authority. So the force of time is very strong, and everything is being destroyed by something else. Just as one animal is being eaten by another animal, similarly time scatters everything exactly as the wind scatters clouds in the sky. Bhutani bhutair. Bhutani bhutair means one living entity is destroyed by another living entity. Anumeya tattvo. Anumeya means we can infer the presence of the time by seeing that how the living entities are getting destroyed by another living entity. This is the function of the time, causing destruction. We can infer the presence of the time by how destruction is happening of each living entity by another living entity. Gana valir, just like wind scatters clouds in the sky, scatters the clouds are together and suddenly the clouds are scattered in different direction. We don't know who actually scattered, although the wind is invisible. But by seeing the effect of that scattering, we can understand the presence of the wind. Another verse, the same Rudra Geet, says, Pramatta Muchair Iti Kritya Chintaya Pravruddha Lobam Vishayeshu Lalasam Tvam Apramatta Sahasabhi Padyase Shulleli Hanur Ivagumantaka. Pramatta Muchair, that means all living entities in this material world are mad after obtaining different things. Pramattam Uchai Iti Kritya Chintaya. Because of anxiety to acquire different things, they are actually shouting. But Tvam Apramatta Sahasabhi Padyase. But you are actually completely, you are beyond this greed. You are like a, you are completely self-satisfied. Tvam Apramatta, you are detached. The greed for material enjoyment is always existing in the living entity. But your lordship is always alert. So one meaning of the word Pramatta is like mad. Apramatta is one who is completely detached. Another meaning is that Pramatta means one who is inattentive. Another the meaning of the word Apramatta is one who is alert. As Prabhupada said, you are actually alert. And in due course of time, you strike these people who are actually completely absorbed in greed and take away what they have accumulated. Just like a snake actually seizes a mouse and very easily swallows it. Tvam apramatta sahasabhi padyase kshulleli hano rivagumantak. So mouse may build some house, etc. But the snake comes and then suddenly captures the mouse. Similarly, people build so many things, but suddenly time actually strikes a person and destroys a person. So Bali Maharaj is basically saying, this time is so powerful, right now time is not in favor of us, it is in the favor of the demigods. And nobody can surpass time. By the council of ministers, 25th verse, 22nd verse. No one can surpass time by material power, buddhya, by the council of ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by herbs or by any other means. So then he concludes saying,
Bhavadbir nirjita khete bhagushu anuchara hare daive nardaista evadyo yudhi jitva nadantina.
So here Vishnu Chakravarti explains, although that Bali Maharaj spoke these words, the demons, because they were covered with ignorance, they could not understand the philosophy. So then Bali Maharaj then gave inspiring instructions that they could accept. So previously the devatas had been defeated by you who had great strength by fate. So he is calling Daivena, saying that Daivena Raddaistu Evadya. So Prabhupada says that I think we discussed a few weeks back the five factors of action: Adishtanam Tathakarta Karanam Chapratakvidam Vividas Chapratakcheshta Daivam Chaivatra Panchama. So out of these five factors, the most important factor is the Daiva. So Bali Maharaj is aware of this particular factor. You know that Daiva is not in favor of us. So even though we may got other things, Daiva is not in favor of us. So let us not try to attack. But so we see that when a person, but these followers of Bali Maharaj, they were not aware of this Daiva factor. As if Bali Maharaj is reminding them. Bali Maharaj knew the secret of how he had formerly been victorious because providence was in his favor. Now since that same providence was not in his favor, there was no possibility of his victory. Thus he very intelligently forbade his associates to fight. So sometimes we have to when you know that certain efforts which you are putting, that when you understand the particular thing, unnecessarily if you put effort, when you know that the time is not in favor of us, then it will actually unnecessarily will waste the time and energy. So Bali Maharaj is actually forbidding them not to fight. Because why he knew that? How did he know that time is not in favor of him? Yeah, because he remembered the curse of Shukracharya. Remembering the curse of Shukracharya, that Shukracharya cursed me that I lose everything, so I am going to lose. So remembering that, he said, do not fight, it is going to happen like that.
Yetan vayam vijeshyamo yadi daivam prasidati tasmat kalam pratikshadvam yona artatvaya kalpate.
So this is Bali Maharaj tells his soldiers not to fight. Now Shukadeva Goswami is speaking.
Shri Shuka Uvacha Patyur Nigaditam Shrutva Daitya Danava Yutapa Rasam Nirvivishu Rajan Vishnu Parshada Tadita.
Shukadeva Goswami continues. O King, in accordance with the order of their master Bali Maharaj, all the chiefs of the demons and daityas entered the lower regions of the universe to which they were driven by the soldiers of the
Atat Tarkshya Suto Gyatva Virat Prabhujikirshitam Babanta Varunai Pashair Balim Sutye Hanikratau.
Thereafter, on the day of Soma Pana, after the sacrifice was finished, Garuda, king of the birds, understanding the desire of his master, arrested Bali Maharaj with the robes of Varuna.
So Prabhupada said Garuda arrested Bali Maharaj. We see it is not mentioned that Vamanadeva instructed Garuda to arrest, but Garuda understood the desire or the intention of Vamanadeva, and he actually arrested Bali Maharaj in order to show the greatness of Bali Maharaj to the whole world. So Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Garuda understood the Lord's intentions. Having accepted all of Bali's possessions, my master now desires to accept Bali's very self. And unable to pay his debt, the Lord will become Bali's doorkeeper. In order to broadcast to the world the Lord's dependence on his devotee and the excellence of his devotee, I will show everyone Bali's indestructible fortitude by punishing him. Thus Garuda bound him up. Sutye Agani means on the day of pressing Soma. So we see that the intention of Garuda, although externally he is actually acting in a way by trying to punish Bali Maharaj by arresting him, but his intention is actually to glorify the character of Bali Maharaj. That is the nature of one devotee. One devotee wants to glorify the character of, he wants to bring out the character of another devotee to the whole world. Although externally we may act in a different way. Like we discussed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a conversation between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, they are actually speaking in a way that they are actually criticizing each other. Nityananda Prabhu is saying that, Advaita Acharya is saying, I don't know what will happen to my caste because I am eating prasadam with an unknown avadhuta. I don't know what is his background. He is actually saying, criticizing Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu is saying, oh, you are Advaita, you are a Mayavadi. By taking prasadam along with you, I will get contaminated. What will happen to me? But Prabhupada writes in the purport, actually internally, their intention was to glorify each other. But externally they were acting in such a way that they were actually criticizing each other. here. Garuda, his intention is to bring out the glory of Bali Maharaj to the whole world. So with that aim, he is actually arresting Bali Maharaj, understanding the mood of Vamanadeva. हाहाकारो महान आसीत् रोदस्यो सर्वतो दिशं निगृह्यमाने सुरपतो विष्णुना प्रभविष्णुना. So it's a great roar of lamentation in all the directions. Tam baddam varunai paashai bhagavan agavamana nashta shriyam siraprajyam udara yashasam drupa.
Okay, this is the story of God and Vamanadeva. Then spoke to Bali Maharaj, the most liberal and celebrated personality, whom he arrested with the ropes of this. Bali Maharaj had lost all bodily luster, but he was nonetheless fixed in his
determination. So here describe that Bali Maharaj is, he was reduced in his bodily luster. The Prabhupada says that when a person loses one's material opulences, material possessions, one naturally becomes bereft of the bodily luster. But although he was reduced in his bodily luster, but he was determined in his promise of giving charity. He was fixed in his determination to satisfy Vamanadeva. Therefore, he is called as Sthita Prajna. He is determined in that. So, a pure devotee is never deviated from the service of the Lord, despite all difficulties and impediments offered by the illusory energy. Generally, men who have wealth and opulence are famous. But Bali Maharaj became famous for all time by being deprived of all his possessions. And this is the special mercy of the Supreme Lord toward his devotees. The Lord says, Yasyagam anugrihnami harishye tadanam shanai. As the first installment of his special favor, the Lord takes away all the possessions of his devotee. A devotee, however, is never disturbed by such a loss. He continues his service, and the Lord amply rewards him beyond the expectations of any common man. Beautiful purport. So actually, Lord rewards him beyond the expectations of any common man. Does anybody remember like a similar thing Prabhupada writes in some other place? How the Lord rewarded somebody beyond the expectation of a person. Dhruva Maharaj? Yeah. But nonsense, Dhruva Maharaj actually wanted, isn't it? I don't know whether Prabhupada writes this. Yeah, Kardava Muni, exactly. Kardava Muni wanted to basically get a good wife. But Lord gave him the arrange for a daughter of Swayambhu Manu to marry with Kardava Muni. So Prabhupada says that how, even if a person approaches the Supreme Lord with a material desire, the Lord can fulfill the desire beyond the expectations of a devotee. So here also, Lord amply rewards him beyond the expectations of any common man. So this is basically a test actually for Bali Maharaj. That although actually Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva and Garuda, they wanted to show the glory of Bali Maharaj to the world. That is why they arrested Bali Maharaj. But from the point of view of Bali Maharaj, he is not thinking that, oh, they are actually trying to, they are going to show my glory and so I will act accordingly. No, he is not thinking like that. From the point of view of Vamanadeva and Bali Maharaj. So Sita Pragya means Bali Maharaj is determined in his, determined to satisfy Vamanadeva. So determination is something Krishna Chakotako writes in a purport. I don't remember exactly, but I heard in a class. He said that determination of a sadhaka is that even if the Supreme Lord comes and tells us to stop practicing devotional service, even then a devotee will not stop. not in the sense of disobeying the Lord, but in the sense of expressing one's determination. Like for example, Sanatan Goswami, Lord told Sanatan Goswami, we don't have to perform the full course and parikrama. Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya himself told him to reduce the rounds. But he said, actually, my body is perfectly alright, and mind is, there is a problem with my mind. So actually his body was a problem, but his mind was in perfect situation. I want class Gaurgopal room mentioned. Sometimes devotees, somebody asked devotee, are you well? So, although we may be in the well, but you will say that we are well. But Haridas Thakur, although he is perfectly well, but he is saying that he is in the well. In the sense that, oh, my mind is having problem. So from the point of the Supreme Lord, Krishna is not a Lord of rigidity, but he is a Lord of flexibility. As he tells the devotees to reduce the rounds, you don't have to perform the full harina, the Govardhan Parikrama. But from the point of view of the devotee, they are determined to perform their vow. So Prabhupada once told one devotee, he showed the picture of Gaur Krishna Sabaji Maharaj and said that, see, he is practically old, he is so old, and he is not even able to stand, but still he is chanting the holy names. So all of you, similarly all of you should never actually give the chanting of the holy names. If such an old person who is not even able to stand, he is chanting the holy names, so then you should definitely chant 16 rounds when you have the capacity. So determination of Bali Maharaj, actually you will see in this episode, especially I feel like three characters of Bali Maharaj are brought out. Bali Maharaj's determination to fulfill the promise, and his tolerance will be brought out, that how so many people would criticize Bali Maharaj, but still he would tolerate and he never had a negative attitude. And third thing is that Bali Maharaj's integrity. Well, because I promised that I will give you three steps of land, so I will fulfill it. So three qualities are brought out. So 29th verse. Padani trini dattani bhumer makhyam tvaya asura dvabhyam kranta mahi sarva tritiyam upakalpyata. So Bali Maharaj is telling to, sorry, Vaman Dev is telling to Bali Maharaj. Yavat tapatyasau gobir, yavat indu sahodubihi, yavat varshati parjanyas, tavati puriyam tava.
As far as the sun and moon shine with the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all the land probably was in your purpose.
Padaikena maya kranto burloka kamdishastano swarloka ste dvitiyena pashyate ste samatmana. So according to the Vedic description of the planetary system, all the planets move from east to west. The sun, the moon, and the five other planets such as Mars and Jupiter orbit one above another. Vamanadeva, however, expanding his body and extending his steps, occupied the entire planetary system. Pratishrutam adatuste niraye vasa yishyate vishatvam nirayam tasma guruna chanubodita.
Because you have been unable to give charity according to your promise, the rule is that you should go down to live in many planets. Therefore, in accordance with the word of Shukracharya, your spiritual master, now go down and live there.
So Bali Maharaj is asking, what should I do if I cannot fulfill my promise? In response, Vamanadeva is saying, you should actually live in hell. So the Lord now speaks to show to the world the steadiness and pure bhakti of Bali. Steadiness and pure bhakti of Bali. I think last week we saw that. What are the reliable characteristics of a person in love of Godhead? The steadiness of surrender and the power of the merciful sound vibration. So here Lord is trying to bring out the steadiness of Bali Maharaj and his pure bhakti. So another quality which is brought out is like how the steadiness is same as determination, we can say. So that last week we saw that in the 11th canto, the reliable characteristics of a person who is in the platform of love of Godhead. These two characteristics, the steadiness of surrender and the power of their merciful sound vibrations. So this last three verses, 32, 33 and 34, so Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is actually saying that there is another meaning. This verses can also be interpreted in another way. Although Vamanadeva is trying to is chastising Bali Maharaj externally, but the internal meaning of the verse is different. He says the word Niraya means in hell. You will go to hell if you don't fulfill your promise. But he says that this is approved by your Guru, Guru Na Chanu Modita. And you can ask your learned Guru whether what I now say is reasonable or not. Actually, since even a person with bhakti abhasa should not go to hell, just for breaking your promise, you also cannot go to hell. Although externally he is saying that you will go to hell for breaking the promise, but internal meaning is that actually you will not go to hell. So because another meaning of the word in Niraye can also be interpreted as Nilaye. Nilaye means it refers to Vaikuntha. He says that Niraye can also mean Nilaye, since R and L can be interchanged in Sanskrit. Thus, please go and live in my abode Vaikuntha. Though now I am ordering you to enter my special place, Sutala, supplied by me. After your position there is finished, I will have you eventually enter Vaikuntha. And though you disregard your Guru, because you know he is opposed to me, I understand that he has lost his discrimination out of great affection for you. Therefore, he is also dear to me. Vamanadeva is telling that Shukracharya is also dear to me because of affection to you, he lost the discrimination. So therefore, he is also dear to me. Therefore, go with him to Sutala. He is also dear to me. So go along with Shukracharya to Sutala Loka. So here Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. He quotes this verse. Narayana Paras Sarve Nakudaschana Bibhyati Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apitulya Darshan. Although a devotee may appear to have gone to hell or heaven, he actually does not live in either place. Rather, he always lives in Vaikuntha. Vamanadev asked Bali Maharaj to go to the hellish planets, apparently just to show the entire universe how tolerant he was. And Bali Maharaj did not hesitate to carry out the order. A devotee does not live alone. Of course, everyone lives with the Supreme Personality of God. But because the devotee is engaged in his service, he actually does not live in any material condition. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Kita Janma Ho Yata Tuva Dasa. Thus he prays to take birth as an insignificant insect in the association of devotees. And because devotees are engaged in the service of the Lord, anyone who lives with them also lives in Vaikuntha. So in this case, of course. Next verse. Vritta Manodatastasya Dura Swarga Patatyadaha pratishrutasya danena yurtinam vipralambate. Here also this verse also has another meaning. He is saying that because you have not fulfilled, external meaning is that a person who has not fulfilled that desires of a beggar, he will actually go to the hellish planet. But the internal meaning is that, however, seeing the results of the Lord's words later, this verse has another meaning. Since you are my devotee, your desire to take the position of Indra is useless, since Swarga falls much below Vaikuntha. Though now you will be situated in Sutala, you are more elevated than being in Swarga, since the pleasure of Sutala is not available in Swarga. So you will especially and excellently vipralambate. You are especially and excellently attain me, the possessor of all four Purusharthas, by completely giving what you promised, since you offered everything, body and soul, to me. This means that you will attain me as your doorkeeper because of your complete surrender. Next verse. Vipralabdho dadamiti tvayaham chadyamanina tadvyalika palambumshva nirayam katichit sama. So here also Bali Maharaj is asking that then what will happen? So the external meaning of this verse is Vamandev is saying that you must, because you cheated me, you must live in the hellish planet for few years as a result of lying. So the internal meaning is that actually you are more respected by people than Indra, because you have attained me especially, Vipralabdha, that is in the previous verse. This verse only. Because you attained me especially, therefore I give this result. Enjoy for some years the pleasures of Sutala, the abode whose result is the highest truth, since it is given by me. Then during the 8th Manvantara, I will put you in the post of Indra, and after that take you to my abode Vaikuntha. So this is important, this thing. Like sometimes remember reading a beautiful article. Sometimes people ask, like, why when somebody is going through difficult circumstances, why the Lord is not helping? Somebody may ask. So Chaitanya Charan Prabhu gave some nice answer. He said that just like when the teacher is teaching the students, so when he is teaching, and then he is asking. He is clarifying the questions. But then during the exam time he keeps silence. So one should not ask, like, why is the teacher keeping quiet here? Why is he not helping me? So that is basically so that the student can actually understand, and then he can actually try to remember what he has studied, so that he can actually improve. So similarly, when during difficult times it may appear that Lord is keeping quiet and he is not helping us, but that is actually just meant to actually help us become more strong. If he is giving answers even during the exams, then like we are not going to learn much. So that way actually Lord is actually testing Bali Maharaj. So as it is said that if you want to know the real nature of a prostitute, you must see the prostitute in the daytime, not in the night time. Because the night time, naturally they will decorate themselves with the nice ornaments to attract the customers. But the daytime you can see the real beauty. or it is said that sometimes when a lion, a dog may bark at the tiger or a lion, the lion is on the other side of the river. So when the lion comes in this side of the river, that time we have to see what is the actually courage of the dog. So similarly, we can see the actually real character of a devotee when he is going through like difficult circumstances, by how he is actually steady in his determination to please the Lord. As the Maharaj often quotes that the greatness of a person is tested by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. So Bali Maharaj, in one sense, he actually, Vamanadeva took away everything, and after taking away everything, he is chastising Bali Maharaj. So you have not fulfilled your promise, so you must go to hell. So this can be like a completely confusing actually. So next chapter. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Viprakrato Rajan Balir Bhagavata Surah Vidyamanopya Vinnatma Pratyaha Viklavam Vachah. Actually, from the point of view of Vamanadeva, he is trying to test Bali Maharaj. But from the point of view of Bali Maharaj, he is not thinking that Lord is acting mischievously toward him. He is actually fixed in his determination, and he is thinking that, oh, I have not fulfilled my promise. He is actually thinking from his heart, I have not fulfilled my promise, and then he is speaking as follows. So although one purport in the previous chapter Prabhupada mentioned that from the Lord was actually exchanging a transcendental humor with Bali Maharaj. That is from the rasa point of view. But we have to see, when you see from the point of view of Bali Maharaj, then we can learn we can learn some lessons relevant to our life, that how Bali Maharaj is not thinking that, oh, Lord is acting mischievously. He is actually thinking that, oh, I did not fulfill my promise. So now Bali Maharaj starts speaking from the second verse till the 11th verse. Shri Balir Uvacha Yad Yuttama Shloka Bhavana Meritam Vacho Vyalikam Suravarya Manyate Karomyatam Tannabhavet Pralambanam Padam Tritiyam Kurushishni Menijam.
Oh, best personality of Godhead, most worshipful for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matter to me with control. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please, therefore, place your third verse footstep on my head.
So actually, Krishna Chakotara, he mentions a beautiful point, the purport. He says, the Lord deceptively bound up Bali. Because the Lord deceptively bound up Bali, he remains constantly as his doorkeeper, tied by the ropes of prema. So Lord bound up Bali, but then later he bound himself by the ropes of prema of Bali Maharaj. So he remained as a doorkeeper. So we see that actually it appears that externally Lord Vamanadeva cheated Bali Maharaj, because he came as a dwarf Brahmana, and then he actually increased his size and then cheated Bali Maharaj. But actually, whom did the Lord cheat in reality? In reality, actually the Lord cheated the demigods and not Bali Maharaj. Because Lord cheated the demigods by giving them Dharma, Artha and Kama. And he actually gave himself to Bali Maharaj. So just like even in the case of Ritrasur, which verse is it? Suresha Kamana. If for the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. He says that actually, Lord is actually merciful to me, not to you. When the Lord shows real mercy, He takes away everything. And He is not. Vigata Masmat, like that it comes. Yes. Trivargikaya Vigata Masmat. Say, when the Lord gives Dharma, Artha and Kama, He is not actually showing His real mercy. And when He takes away this thing, then He actually shows the real mercy. So Lord actually, externally, it appears that He cheated Bali Maharaj, but actually He cheated the demigods. Just like this, similar to, I was remembering, when Krishna was going to attack Bhishma Dev, He took up that broken chariot wheel to attack Bhishma Dev. So externally it appears that Krishna was angry with Bhishma Dev and He was trying to save Arjuna. He was actually pleased with Arjuna because in order to protect Arjuna He is trying to attack Bhishma Dev. But actually Prabhupada writes in the purport, actually Krishna was angry with Arjuna and not at Bhishma Dev. Because Krishna wanted to fulfill the desire of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev wanted to see in that particular posture. And Arjuna was trying to stop Krishna from fulfilling the desire of Bhishma Dev. So Krishna was actually angry with Arjuna, not with Bhishma Dev. So this is the internal this thing. So then here Prabhupada mentions that Bali Maharaj, although the Lord's purpose was to cheat him, Bali Maharaj took pleasure in understanding how the Lord will cheat his devotee to glorify the devotee's position. It is said that God is good, and this is a fact. Whether He cheats or rewards, He is always good. Bali Maharaj therefore addressed him as Uttama Shloka, your Lordship. He said, you are always praised with the best of selected verses. So Bali Maharaj is addressing the Lord by the word Uttama Shloka. So Vishnu Chakravarti explains, Uttama Shloka means Lord who is having pure fame. So he is giving many reasons for why Lord is called as Uttama Shloka, why Bali Maharaj is addressing the Lord as Uttama Shloka. So first he says, but actually he is saying that Bali is actually addressing the Lord in a joking way, addressing as Uttama Shloka. Because after begging as a dwarf for 3 steps of land, you attempted to take the land by 3 steps as a gigantic form of Trivikram. In this way, you reveal your lack of desire as a brahmachari without greed. He is joking. Because previously Vamanadeva spoke that Bali Maharaj said, why are you just asking for 3 steps of land? I am ready to give so many things. Like Vamanadeva said, one is not satisfied with the 3 steps of land. Will not be satisfied even if we get the whole kingdom. So he spoke about the importance of satisfaction for a brahmana. So here is a point, remembering that and is saying that. In this way you reveal your lack of desire as a brahmachari without greed. So this is one reason. And then next he mentions, we devotees become mad with bliss on drinking this nectar of your fame. Though you are the husband of Lakshmi, you beg land from a beggar like me. And you act disgracefully by desiring more land by trick. And you are cheating Brahmanas in the guise of a Brahmachari, showing desire for material objects, exhibiting lack of peace, showing anger and punishment to the person who gives. And all these qualities, you show these as your natural qualities. You show this as your natural quality. That means like he is like very seriously displaying all these qualities naturally. And you destroy the intelligence of my guru who had knowledge of scriptures. And you sided with Indra and others who were barely touched with a small drop of your mercy. And you sided against me who became submerged in a great ocean of your sweet mercy. Therefore, the poets glorify you as most famous. That's why Bali Maharaj is addressing Vamana Deva's Uttama Shloka. So then he says, if you consider my words false, this means that actually it will be impossible for you who desire to conquer unjustly your devotee to make the words of your devotee false. So Bali Maharaj is also addressing the Lord by the word Suravarya Manyate. That means one who is worshipped by the devatas. So this means Bali Maharaj is saying, you have been requested by the devatas to take the land from me and give it to them for their enjoyment. I will make my promise true. My words should not be cheating. And your words, however, cheat the devatas, since you offer to give them artha, dharma and kama and not the nectar of your lotus feet. So he is saying that you are cheating the devatas by giving dharma, artha and kama. But you are actually not cheating me, you are giving the nectar of your lotus feet to me. So put your third step on my head. Do not think that since you have covered the universe by two steps, there is no use in putting your third step. Because Vamana Deva may be thinking that in two steps I got so much of opulence, but what will I get by putting the third steps on your head? I will not get what tangible thing will I get? So Bali Maharaj is saying, actually the possessor of an object is greater than the possession. So by putting the third step on my head, you are gaining more wealth than you gained by the first two steps. In the first two steps, you just gained the possessions. But the possessor is greater than the possessions. So don't think that you will not gain anything by putting the third step on my head. Because actually you will gain more than what you gained by the first two steps. So this is actually Bali Maharaj's step. So we see that Vamana Deva, the first two steps, Bali Maharaj gave his entire possessions. But in the third step, Bali Maharaj gave himself to Vamana Deva. So many times one may donate something, but then we may maintain the identity that I am the donor, I have given this thing. So to give up our identity, that is actually, that means like to give up our false ego, that is more difficult than giving up the possessions. Varanku was mentioning that some years back when there was that Bhakti Rasam Swami Maharaj's sannyas ceremony was held. So somebody had sponsored prasadam. So there was actually Ram Navami also. Somebody sponsored a prasadam piece. So then, Varanku gave gifts to them, etc. And then he said, okay, we arrange a special prasadam for you in the Vrindavan garden. Why don't you come there? Said, no, we will stand in the line and we will take prasadam. We want a special worship, we will stand in the line and take prasadam, they said. And they went down, they were standing in the line. And one who is controlling the line, he doesn't know who these people are. And he allowed certain people, and then he stopped them. We had to wait for some time. And then they were just waiting. And they said, our train is, we have to go. We are running short of time, we have to catch the train. They said, no, you have to wait. And Mataji got, said, we don't, what kind of people they are, we have given the whole this thing. And they are treating us like this. So we will not take prasadam in this temple. And then they went from the line, they actually started leaving. So Gaurangpur was thinking that, after they went down, he was feeling that maybe something wrong might happen. Then sensing that, he came down. And then he understood actually, these people, something wrong happened, and then they left without taking prasadam. And then he went and then pleaded with them, they begged for forgiveness, and then brought them for prasadam. So he was saying that many times you may give something, but still after that Still the attitude of, oh, I have given something, that we may stick to the identity. So it is more difficult to give up the false ego. But the third step which Bali Maharaj is offering himself, he is actually giving up his own ego. So just like even the case of Prithu Maharaj, like Prithu Maharaj, after the four Kumaras, they actually gave instructions to him. This verses is that Prana Dara Sutta Brahman Grihascha Sa Parichada Rajyam Balam Mahi Kosha Iti Sarvam Niveditam. He said that, so I offer my wife, life, children, home, furniture, household paraphernalia, my kingdom, strength, land, and especially my treasury, all these things are offered unto you. All these things are offered unto you. And then, in fact, Prabhupada writes in the purport, if you remember that, although he is saying, "My offer my kingdom," in kingdom is actually everything is included in that. But he is also telling that I offer my treasury also. So that treasury refers to, the king should have some special private treasury or private bank account, something like that. Private treasury for the personal purpose. He is offering that also. But after that he speaks this verse. Yair idrishi bhagavato gatiratma vada tushyant adabra karuno sakritena nityam. No, ekantato nigamibi pratipaditana tushyant adabra karuno svakritena nityam ko nama tat pratikaroti vinoda patram. He says that actually you have performed such unlimited service by giving the transcendental knowledge to us, and actually I can never repay this debt of transcendental knowledge which you have given to me. So actually I can never repay what you have given, even by giving all these things. So better you be satisfied with your own service. In fact, a person who is trying to satisfy the depth of transcendental knowledge, he is like a joker. He is compared to a joker. Just such a person is actually is an object of mockery. So I am like an object of mockery who try to satisfy the depth of transcendental knowledge which you have given. So in this verse he is actually giving his own ego also, you can say. Because after giving all, especially speaking this verse, after giving up all the possessions, after giving up all the possessions, one may have that identity, but then he is saying that actually what you have given is actually nothing compared to what you have given me. So he is giving up his own ego. So that is the third step of Bali Maharaj which is offering. That's what it represents. Even Chitraketu Maharaj, when he lost the son, he was like so much of, he was lamenting like anything. But then again Narada Muni, they gave instructions to him. And later when he was cursed by Parvati Devi, his whole identity got changed. From being the king of the Vidyadhara planets, he became a demon. His own identity changed, but his response was like a, is it worse that kim sukam dukkam eva, what is there in the waves of the modes of material nature, what is happiness and what is distress, guna pravaha etasmin kaha shoko kon anugraha kim sukam swarga, something like that. What is heaven, what is hell, what is happiness, what is distress, like in the fast flowing river, sometimes you see a particular object and immediately next moment it disappears, and then you see some other object and it disappears. Similarly the waves of material nature, so even though his own identity changed, he was unaffected. So previously when a when he lost his possession, he got so disturbed, he was like lamenting so severely. But now when his identity himself changed, he was unaffected, because that is the power of the transcendental knowledge which he received from Narada Muni Nangira Rishi. So here also we see that Bali Maharaj is offering his own, his identity, his whole, actually his full false ego. I say Bali Maharaj represents Atma Nivedanam, according to the Nectar of Devotion. Like that. So we'll go to the next verse.
Bibelinaham nirayat padachyuto napashabandhavyasanadurathyayat nipaivartakrishrat bhavato vinigrahat asaduvadat brushamudvijayata.
So in the previous verse, purport Prabhupada says, because you are working on behalf of your devotees, you do not regard this as cheating. Never mind, I cannot be considered a devotee. Nonetheless, like Lord is working for the sake of his devotees, demigods, therefore you do not regard this as cheating, that which you try to take away from me. But never mind, but I cannot be considered a devotee. Nonetheless, because although you are the husband of the goddess of fortune, you have come to beg, come to me to beg, I must satisfy you to the best of my ability. So please do not think that I wanted to cheat you. I must fulfill my promise. I still have one possession, my body. You have taken my wealth, but still I have my body. When I place my body for your satisfaction, please put your third step on my head. Since the Lord had covered the entire universe with two steps, one might ask how Bali Maharaj's head could be sufficient for his third step. Bali Maharaj, however, thought that the possessor of wealth must be greater than the possession. Therefore, although the Lord had taken all his possessions, the head of Bali Maharaj, the possessor, would provide adequate place for the Lord's third step. Now, in the third verse, Bali Maharaj is actually expressing his fear. This shows that what a devotee is actually fearful of. What does a Vaishnava actually fear? He is saying, actually I don't fear to enter hellish planet, I don't fear being deprived of my possessions, I don't fear being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, I don't fear being punished, but I fear defamation because of breaking a promise. Lord Prabhupada says that being quite alert in regard to his reputation, he thought deeply about how to prevent being defamed. Therefore, the Lord gave him the good counsel to prevent defamation by offering his head. So, Lord gave him good counsel. A Vaishnava does not fear any punishment. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana bibhyati. So Vishnu Chakotaku says that Vamanadeva is asking, do you want to get free of Varuna's ropes and hell? So Bali Maharaj says, actually I fear the criticism of devotees with words like, the devotees like Bali cheat Brahmanas. So I fear such criticism. And I fear the difficulty, I don't fear the difficulty due to loss of assets. So next verse is, I remember like, Gaurangra would quote often this verse.
Pumsam shlagyatam ammanye dandam arhattam arpitam yamna mata pita brata suhrudas chadi shanti.
Although a father, mother, brother or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most merciful Lord, I regard the punishment
that
you have given me as most
enjoyable. So here, in this verse, he is saying, actually, two points are mentioned. One point which Vishnu Chakravarti mentioned is that when the parents' well-wishers, when they punish, actually they do not punish completely. But when you punish completely. So Lord's punishment is actually complete, more than the punishment given by the other parents and well-wishers of this world. And the second point he is saying is that, the first point is comparing the punishment given by the Lord with the punishment given by other people in this world. And second thing he says is that, actually the punishment given by you is actually is much, much better than the benedictions given by the most dear people of this world, the parents and well-wishers and kings, etc. Though mothers and others are praiseworthy for being benefactors in this world, those who punish to give spiritual benefit are millions of times more affectionate to a person. So that's what Prabhupada writes in the purport. So Prabhupada quotes, Tattenu kampam susamikshamanu. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to karma of his past deeds, who engage always in your devotional service with his mind, words and body, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. A devotee knows that so-called punishment is by the Supreme Lord is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Therefore, punishment awarded by the Supreme Lord cannot be compared to even the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother or friend. So this goes like Bali Maharaj is speaking with full conviction and realization, like our aspiration to get this conviction actually. So we see that the real character of Bali Maharaj is actually brought out in these verses. So we'll go to the next verse. Tvam nulam asuranam na paroksha paramo guru yono anegamanandanam vibramsham chakshuradisha.
Act for our best welfare by posing as if our enemy. Because demons like us always aspire for a position of false prestige. By despising us, you give us the eyes by which to see the right path.
So here, this is also important verse. He is saying the Supreme Lord, you actually favor the demigods directly, but you favor the demons indirectly. And he says, when the Lord favors a person indirectly, that the benefit obtained by the indirect favor is actually higher than the benefit obtained by the direct favor. Because when he directly favors a person, he favors a person by giving dharma, artha and kama. But when he indirectly favors a person, he actually takes away the possessions from the hands of people who are proud of their false prestige. And by taking away that, he actually indirectly favors the person. By indirectly favoring, Lord actually gives the vision of knowledge. And by direct favor, Lord actually makes a person blind. They become puffed up of the prestige. But by indirect favor, Lord actually gives the vision of knowledge. So such a beautiful verse actually. Since you are indirectly the greatest benefactor of us demons, you give us the eye for destroying our blindness arising from pride. So Vaman Dev is saying, but I am famous for helping the Devadas and not the demons. In response, Bali Maharaj is speaking this verse. You are the indirect benefactor of the demons. Since you pose as their enemy, and indirect benefit is greater than the direct benefit, thus you are the supreme benefactor for us. You are not the supreme benefactor for the Devadas, since giving them the power and wealth that they desire is not really beneficial. You give us real benefit. You give us the eyes of knowledge, whereas the Devadas are blinded. So, like that. So, Prabhupada says that. So, Lord always acts as a well-wisher. That means, acts as a well-wisher of the demons, by depriving them of their positions of false prestige. By false But by false prestige, one is misguided. So the Lord takes away their position of false prestige as a special favor. So it is mentioned paroksha. Lord indirectly favors. So when we saw that one of the names of the Supreme Lord is Paroksha Priya. Do you remember when did we discuss this? This section. The Puranjan story in the last verse of the 29th chapter, some of the last verses mentioned Paroksha. It's mentioned that Puranjan story is an indirect Paroksha Vada Rishaya. How that indirectly, Puranjan story is an indirect glorification of the Supreme Lord. Indirectly, the glory of the Supreme Lord, glory of the process of devotional service established. So even in the 11th canto it is mentioned, Veda Brahmatma Vishaya Trikanda Vishaya Ime Paroksha Vada Rishaya Paroksham Mamacha Priyam. The Vedas divided into three divisions ultimately reveal the living entity as the pure spirit soul. The Vedic seers and mantras, however, deal in esoteric terms. It means like indirectly. And Krishna is telling to Uddhava, I am pleased by such confidential descriptions. So here also, Lord is actually favoring the demons indirectly. So many times, that's why we have to understand, we have to see everything as a favor of God. So we need to translate how the different situations are happening, that how it is actually a favor of the Supreme Lord. If you are not able to translate, we need to approach the Guru who acts as a translator. Who acts as a translator and actually tells, actually it is a mercy of the Lord. So, the next verse. Yasmin vairanu bandena vyudena vibhutetara bhagavo lebire siddhim yabuhai kanta yoginaha tenaham nigrahitosmi bhavata bhuri karmana baddhascha varunai paashe nati vride nachavyate.
Finally achieve the perfection of great mystic yogis. Your Lordship can perform one work to serve many purposes. And consequently, although you have punished me in many ways, I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, nor do I feel aggrieved.
So Bali Maharaj appreciated the Lord's mercy not only upon him but upon many other demons. Because this mercy is liberally distributed, the Supreme Lord is called All Merciful. Bali Maharaj was indeed a fully surrendered devotee. But even some demons who are not at all devotees, but merely enemies of the Lord, attained the same exalted position achieved by many mystic yogis. Thus Bali Maharaj could understand that the Lord had some hidden purpose in punishing him. Consequently, he was neither unhappy nor ashamed because of the awkward position in which he had been put by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Neither unhappy nor ashamed. But the word which is used, na ati vride, na cha vyate. So, another meaning of the word ati vride means, I am not extremely ashamed. So, Vishnu Chakravarti says that, Bali Maharaj is saying, I am not extremely ashamed. I am only little ashamed. I am only little ashamed because of my own impurity of the heart. So when a person is extremely ashamed, that means that shows that a person has extreme attachment to the wealth or something. So Bali Maharaj is not extremely ashamed, he is little ashamed, but the cause of little ashamedness is because he is feeling that, oh, I am having impurity of heart. That means I did not fulfill the promise, like that, he's feeling that. What to speak of me, your dedicated devotee, even the demons, who hated you got your extraordinary mercy. I have been punished by you, the benefactor, whose actions have great effects, and I have a little shame because of my impurity of heart. So Prabhupada translates as, Lord, when he performs one work, he performs one work to serve many purposes. We see in this episode, he appeared to satisfy the desire of Aditi, and he appeared to satisfy the desire of the demigods. He appeared to satisfy the desire of, I think, Kashyapa Muni and Aditi, yeah, same. And then he also appeared to glorify the character of Bali Maharaj, and I think many other things like that. Ganges, he called the descent of the Mother Ganges. So many things were fulfilled. So we'll take up the next verse and then we'll end.
Pitamaho me bhavadiya sammata tandrada avishkrita saduvada bhavad vipakshena vichitra vaishasam samprāptisvam parama svapitra.
My grandfather, Prahlāda Maharaj, is famous, being recognized by all your devotees. Although harassed in many ways by his father, Hiranyakashipu, he still remained faithful, taking shelter at your lotus feet.
He is actually remembering Prahlāda Maharaj. He is saying, he basically, Bali Maharaj, by following the footsteps of Prahlāda Maharaj, he also became a Mahajan. So Prabhupada says, he appeared only like Prahlāda Maharaj, although harassed circumstantially in many ways, never gives up the shelter of the Supreme Lord to take shelter of anyone else. A pure devotee never complains against the mercy of the Supreme Lord. A vivid example is Prahlāda Maharaj. Examining the life of Prahlāda Maharaj, we can see how severely he was harassed by his own father, Hiranyakashipu. Yet he did not divert his attention from the Lord even to the smallest extent. Bali Maharaj, following the footsteps of his grandfather Prahlāda Maharaj, remained fixed in his devotion to the Lord despite the Lord's having punished him. So basically, when you follow in the footsteps of one Mahajan, so the other person, he also becomes a Mahajan.
In this case, it is like Lord is
Lord himself is actually trying to arrest him and put him in this thing. So Vishnu Chakotaku says that, I should tolerate the punishment you give since you are my deity, but you should also be affectionate to me since you should think of me as the grandson of your devotee Prahlad. Though he received many types of torture from his father, he remained surrendered to you. So it's like another indication that Bali Maharaj is telling to Vamanade. So we'll continue from on Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, we'll actually finish the 8th canto. This 22nd chapter. 22nd and 23rd, we'll take it on Monday. And then 24th chapter, Tuesday. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, प्रभुपाद की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। Morning, whom did you ask? morning, whom did you ask? The vehicle is not. Like he is training vehicle. Because I already told that I will postpone the program to tomorrow. One second.
Krishna 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 Hare
for program tomorrow, okay. Achha, prasadam also you must have told Vaikunth Prabhu. Okay. Tomorrow will have. Because again there was some plan change, but anyway we will have tomorrow. Today, the program is postponed to tomorrow, but they are already prasadam and tomorrow morning again.
So then they will come by train and they will get from there. So we go to Virat.